to the sixth program of the 24th Annual Standard School Broadcast Course in Music Enjoyment. These musical portraits of famous Americans are presented transcribed by the Standard Oil Company of California, especially for you, our listening audience in the classrooms and homes throughout the Pacific West, Alaska, and Hawaii. Today, our musical portrait is that of a famous American whose music is familiar to all of us. American music, written especially for Americans by the song and dance man of the theater, George M. Cohan, the Yankee Doodle Boy.
A Yankee Doodle, do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am a Yankee Doodle boy.
Should all the acquaintance be forgot?
Keep your eye on the grand old flag.
Our scene opens backstage at a theater in Providence, Rhode Island. Jerry Cohan of the vaudeville team, Helen and Jerry Cohan, knocks lightly on the door of his wife's dressing room and enters unannounced.
Helen, I just thought that... What's this? What's this? Georgie, home from school so early?
Well, how did it go today, son? Better than yesterday?
No.
Well, well, we seem to have a difference of opinion here. Georgie all smiles and his mother on the verge of tears.
But Georgie's been... Well, the teacher brought him home from school, says she can't cope with him.
What?
She says she never knows when Georgie will burst into song. He won't recite his alphabet, but he gives whole performances of our skits, acting out both our parts.
Oh, see.
He pretends the classroom's a theater, just like this one. Never still. Dances and acts the clown all the time.
Uh-huh.
And she says he insists his birthday is the 4th of July.
Huh.
And you know perfectly well, Jerry, that his birth certificate states clearly that he was born on July 3rd, 1878. Oh, Jerry, our baby. And after only 6 weeks of school, too.
Well, this is serious, young man. Can you explain?
Yes, sir. Now that I finished school.
You are going to another school, young man.
But Mama, I want to be a song and dance man, just like Papa. And the teacher doesn't know anything about song and dance men. Honey, she does.
Well, that makes no difference.
I'm going to be on the stage, just like you and Papa and Sister Josie. I want to be where there's music, and I want to be born on the 4th of July.
Well, I don't know. The theater's hardly the place for a little 6-year-old boy. Your mother and I will talk about this and see what's to be done.
So Helen and Jerry Cohan thought it over. They tried their best to keep Georgie in school, but because of their vaudeville circuit, Georgie found himself in a new school every time his family was booked at a different theater. Consequently, his formal education was a bit sketchy. And at the age of 8, he took his place as a professional actor on the stage. His first appearance was in the play Daniel Boone. It was a walk-on part that left him free to play second violin in the orchestra pit during the rest of the performance. And a year later, he had an act of his own. He was billed as Master Georgie, Violin Tricks and Tinkling Tunes. The women in the audience referred to him as that dear little angel in the Lord Fauntleroy suit. But in his world of actors and actresses, stagehands, boarding house keepers, and theater managers, he was thought of as anything but a dear little angel. By 1889, Jerry Cohan decided that his little family had talent enough to strike out on its own. So the Four Cohans was organized. By 1892, their act was popular in every vaudeville stage up and down the East Coast. There were original sketches by Helen and Jerry Cohan, dances by daughter Josephine, and a song and dance routine by young Georgie.
While strolling through the park one day, in the merry month of May, I was taken by surprise by a pair of roguish eyes. In a moment, my poor heart was stole away. I immediately raised my hat. Finally, she remarked, I never shall forget that lovely afternoon I met her at the fountain in the park.
Georgia gets better with each performance, doesn't he, Jerry?
Certainly does, Helen.
I thank you for myself. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for my father. And for my sister in vaudeville.
I'm 16 now, Papa. I'm old enough to know my own mind, and I decided to leave the theater, for good and all.
Not again, Georgie.
No, this time I won't be back. If I can write one good song like, When the Girl You Love Is Many Miles Away, then I can write other good ones.
Maybe so, son, maybe so. But strikes me your place is in the theater.
No. This time I'm leaving, for good.
Georgie, you're back again.
Yes, I'm back.
For how long this time, son?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll be 17 on the 4th of July.
Oh, Georgie.
And I think it's about time I got into something permanent. I've had several hit songs published. Venus, My Shining Love. Why Did Nellie Leave Home? I write good sketches, parodies, and monologues for producers, publishers, and actors. And my stuff is good. There's no doubt about it. They like it. So, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for the Four Cohans. I've decided, all parties agreeing, of course, that I should take over the management of the Four Cohans, write the songs and sketches, produce the shows, and in general, act as general manager. We've wasted enough of our time and our talents in the variety hall. I've got some things written down here, new material for you two.
But your father has always written our skits, Joe.
Yeah, I know, but this will be different. Clever dance routines for Josie. I've got some wonderful ideas for little plays with music. Songs, you know. Oh, you'll see.
Yes, George M. Cohan returned to the footlights and to his family just about as often as he left them. But this time he had a plan. His writing, directing, and producing of these early skits, little plays with music and dancing, were the beginnings of his musical comedies. Most of his songs were based on four chords, which he played mostly on the black keys of his piano. His dramatic sketches were fresh, his dance routines were well done, and his songs were popular. By 1898, the Four Cohans were in demand in every vaudeville theater, and so was the song that George wrote especially for the beautiful and talented Ethel Levy. It was the hit of the year, and titled, I Guess I'll Have to Telegraph My Baby.
Telegraph my baby, I need them I guess I'll have to telegraph my baby. I need the money bad, indeed I do. For Lucy is a very generous lady. I can always touch her for a few. I find the Western Union a convenience, no matter where I go. I'll telegraph my baby, she'll send 10 or 20 maybe, then I won't have to walk back home.
In 1901, these dramatic sketches with songs and dances were made into full-length musical comedies, very popular on the circuit, but still not what Broadway and not what George wanted. Then, in 1903, Claw and Erlanger, the theatrical kings of the day, produced their musical Mother Goose, and they used a Cohan song called Always Leave Them Laughing When You Say Goodbye.
Always leave them laughing when you say goodbye. Never linger long about, or else you wear your welcome out. When you meet a fellow with a tear-dimmed eye, you can leave him laughing if you try. When he tells his troubles, interrupt him with a joke. Tell him what he's never heard, and he'll declare that it's a bird. When he's giggling good, you know that's the time to turn and go. Always leave him laughing when you say goodbye.
About this time, the four Cohans became five. The actress-singer Ethel Levy joined the troupe, and shortly after that, she and George were married. Then came 1904 and Little Johnny Jones.
Georgie, my boy, what on earth is going on here?
I'm getting ready for my new musical comedy, Papa.
But all this noise and confusion. Who are these people?
Carpenters, scene painters, members of the chorus.
And the play. Have you thought about that? Have you written anything for all these people to perform?
No, not yet. But I think I've got it this time. I'm going to give the American audience something entirely new and different. I thought out a lot of things. The lead's name is Little Johnny Jones. Huh. I think I'll give that title to the play, too.
Mama, Elsie, Josie, did you hear the latest news?
No, Papa, what?
Georgie has engaged carpenters, scene painters, even a chorus for his new musical, which isn't written yet, by the way.
Oh, but it will be before we go into rehearsal. At least the first act will be roughed out.
From the looks of all these people working here, you plan a really big production. Could you confide in your old father and tell him just what you plan to use for money?
Sam Harris has agreed to produce it for us. Isn't that great?
Sam Harris? When? Where?
At the Liberty Theater right here in New York. I plan that opening night should be not later than November 7th. That's a Monday.
Why, that isn't very far away.
Big step, son. Mighty big step.
Well, especially with no play to work from.
I'm not saying you can't do it, but there's lots of work ahead. Got to find a director. There'll be dances, no doubt. Got to work out routines.
Oh, that won't be difficult for the Cohans, Papa. And I will direct the show.
You?
Why not? Little Johnny Jones is going to be about an American jockey. That'll be me. Who sings? Me. And dances. Again, me. And since I'm going to write the book, the lyrics, and music for the songs, I see no reason why I shouldn't do the directing, too.
No, I suppose not.
No reason at all.
Now, you see, I'm an American jockey, the hero, and my name is Little Johnny Jones.
Well, do you think the public will like that, George? A jockey for a hero. People nowadays are used to the Viennese operettas, you know, and they're charming, suave leading men.
Ah, they need a change. New Yorkers will love my show. It'll put their town on the map. It's going to be about real people. Of course, they'll love it. Now, there'll be one scene where Johnny is in England, going to ride for the King of England, sort of a command performance. I'm basing the plot on the experience of Todd Sloan, the American jockey who actually went to England last year to ride for King George. Well, my hero, Johnny, has never been away from home before. He's homesick. Longs for the good old USA. Especially his own hometown, little old New York. London is fine, but he misses Broadway, 42nd Street, Pearl Square. So he sends a message back home by a friend. It goes like this. Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Pearl Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long.
Yes, George Cohan was right. The public did love his little Johnny Jones. His songs were alive, his dialogue witty, his comedy American. Little Johnny Jones was the beginning of a long list of successful shows. Next came 45 Minutes from Broadway, written in 1906. The setting for this play was New Rochelle, New York, and those good people were wild with anger. Boycott the show, they cried. It's grounds for libel. Why? The title song tells the whole story.
Only 45 minutes from Broadway. Think of the changes it brings. For the short time it takes, what a difference it makes in the ways of the people and things. Oh, what a fine bunch of Rubens. Oh, what a gay atmosphere. They have whiskers like hay, and imagine Broadway only 45 minutes from here.
Only 45 minutes from Broadway. Think of the changes it brings.
For the short time it takes, what a difference it makes in the ways of the people and things.
Oh, what a fine bunch of Rubens. Oh, what a gay atmosphere.
They have whiskers like hay, and imagine Broadway
only 45 minutes from here.
Nevertheless, Americans loved Cohan's music, and they flocked to his performances. 1906 was also the year of George Washington, Jr. The critics roasted Cohan, but the audiences from Maine to California loved him and his flag-waving, "You're a Grand Old Flag."
You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag.
But should old acquaintance be forgotten,
keep your eye on the grand old flag.
Next to music and the theater, George M. Cohan loved baseball.
Mr. Cohan's office? Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Cohan won't be in today. Whom shall I say is calling? Oh, yes, Mr. No, he won't be in all day. I'm very sorry. Yes, I know where he is. Well, I don't think you could find him now. You see, Mr. Cohan is at the Polo Grounds. The Giants are playing at home this week. Christy Mathewson is pitching. And, of course, Mr. Cohan never misses a game. What's that, sir? Oh, no, Mr. Cohan never schedules rehearsals or performances during the baseball season. When? Well, I suggest you call Mr. Cohan after the baseball season.
Yes, George M. Cohan remained an ardent Giant fan. But years later, 1937, he did write this march for manager Frankie Frisch and his gas house gang, the St. Louis Cardinals, which he called the March of the Cardinals.
Thank you.
George M. Cohan's most famous song, Over There, is the exception to the rule that wars do not produce good songs. It was the morning of April 6, 1917, the day the United States declared war on Germany.
War. Can't believe it. The United States at war with Germany. What can I do? How can I help out over there? What good is a songwriter at a time like this? Especially a songwriter with only four chords in his musical knowledge. I've got it. I've got it. Like a bugle call. Over there. Over there. Over there. Over there. I'll write a song. A war song. That's what I'll do. I'll hurry to the office before I forget. How can I forget when I only know the four F-sharp chords?
Yes, Mr. Cohan?
Where's my pencil? Where's my yellow pad?
On the piano, Mr. Cohan, right where they always are. There's so much excitement with President Wilson declaring war on Germany today, I'm surprised you can concentrate on songwriting or anything else for that matter.
Indeed, I am going to write a song this morning. I'm going to give those black keys a real workout. Oh, yes. And Miss Davis?
Yes, Mr. Cohan.
I don't want to be disturbed for at least half an hour, maybe an hour. I'll be busy doing what I can to help win that war you're speaking of. Well, Georgie, my boy, I think we've done it. I think we've written a song for this world war. Let's see. It's taken me almost an hour. Yeah, I guess I'll try it over once from the beginning. Wonder what our soldiers will think of it. Wonder if they'll like it. Over there. Over there. Send the word. Send the word. Over there. That the Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming. The drum coming everywhere.
So prepare. Say a prayer. Send the word. Send the word to beware. We'll be over. We're coming over. And we won't go home till it's over, over there. Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Take it on the run, on the run, on the run. Hear them calling you and me, every son of liberty. Hurry right away, no delay, go the day. Make your daddy glad to have had such a lad. Tell your sweetheart not to pine, to be proud her boy's in line. Over there, over there. Send the word over there. That the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming. The drums, drums coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer. Send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over. And we won't go home, it's over, over there.
Well, the soldiers loved Over There, because like so many other songs by Cohan, there was nothing about it that was fancy or difficult or tricky. It was just a simple tune with sincere words. A tune easily learned, but not easily forgotten. A tune that quickened the step and boosted the morale of American soldiers in 1917 and again in 1941. We Americans have been left a wealth of songs by which to remember George M. Cohan. But one in particular
leaves a vivid picture of the dapper little song and dance man whose life blood was the theater. I can see him now, his gray derby tilted precariously over one ear, and his bamboo cane swinging jauntily over his shoulder as he steps lightly downstage to sing his own personal song in his own personal way.
Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am a Yankee Doodle boy.
I'm a Yankee Doodle dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die. A real life nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy.
So we conclude our musical portrait of George M. Cohan, the Yankee Doodle Boy. The next time you hear a Cohan song, square your shoulders, smooth your hair, and look proud. Because it will be a song about you, real American people, about whom George M. Cohan wrote and sang. Next week in our series, Musical Portraits of Famous Americans, we shall tell you the story of the electrical wizard Thomas Alva Edison, so be sure to listen. The Standard School broadcast is transcribed in San Francisco by the Standard Oil Company of California for release in the 7 Western states, Alaska, and Hawaii. The orchestra is under the direction of Carmen Dragon, and the soloists were Dorothy Warrenchold, Bob Stevens, William Reeve, Pete Roberts, and Harry Stanton. The part of George M. Cohan was played by Monty Masters. Your announcer and narrator has been John Grover.